Praise the Lord.
Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, when the struggles come, Lord, you're right there. And those are the times, Lord, when you do carry us, Lord. I thank you for this night. I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you for the word you've given. I thank you that you're faithful even when we're not faithful, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just say this is your time. We are your people. We've come to hear your word. So, Lord, I yield myself to you. Speak through me tonight. Declare your thoughts in me, Lord. Declare your word through me, Lord. And let me be the oracle that speaks those words for your glory in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you. We invite you to come. Let our Father's will be done in this house tonight because of you and because of open and receptive hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Gene and I were having a conversation on the way up here, and I just want to preface what I have to say tonight. You know, there's things that that human beings struggle with. And if you don't have God, then your struggle is really, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Without God, you're going to lose. Because you cannot have the right mentality, the right thinking, the wisdom of God without God. That's a no-brainer. Whoa, revelation. You know what I mean? One of the areas where the enemy likes to put us in bondage is holding us in our past. And yet God's word says we don't have a past, we only have a future. Now what do I mean by that? You were ill-treated by people as a child or in your previous, years before you knew the Lord or even when you knew the Lord. And those are things that the enemy uses as strongholds in our life to put bondages and chains on us, to hold us so we can't grow any further. We never lose sight of those things. But really, if you stop and think about it now, you really need to think about this. Don't let this just fly over your head. You know, the motivations and things that happen to us, you know, the things that motivate us to have feelings like that are things that have happened to us and things that we don't understand. We didn't deserve them. We weren't to blame for them. And yet they happened. And most of the time, it's from somebody really close to you. A parent. A sibling. A close friend. And I'm leading up to something here, so just bear with me for a second. But what happens is we get into the same mode. Listen carefully now. The same mode that motivates or motivated them if they're not still with us. And then to add insult to injury, something happens, they pass away, and we've never been able to resolve the issue in us with them. We've never been able to apologize or make it right, and now the issues become even greater. How many know what I'm talking about? How many are with me? And one of the things that I've talked about in the past is the fact that we need to understand that people's actions, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says that men love darkness because their deeds were evil, rather than light because their deeds were evil. But I believe that when God created man, and I believe this is backed up by Scripture, that he put a conscience in us which lets us know right and wrong. But something along the way affected them adversely, and they became stuck in the past or with issues that they couldn't get by because they too do not understand why they were treated the way they were. And yet there is a reason, whether we understand it or not, whether we know it or not, and it doesn't make it feel any better for us because there's a reason that they do what they do. It means that they never were able to make peace with God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And as a result, they perpetrate on us things that were perpetrated on them. Are you with me so far? It's very important. I believe this preface is very important to this message tonight. And so as a result, we start having feelings where we, and not only that, then what happens if somebody else does something that reminds us of what was done to us, then right away the resentment starts towards them. Say amen. It's the truth. And we need to catch ourselves and we need to know. First of all, we have no past. I mean, dear God, I don't know what it's going to take for us to get a hold of that and really realize that. We have no past. We only have a future. We can't do anything about yesterday. But some of us, man, we're hell-bent. We're it's an issue for us. And yet, what happens in that also is we lose sight of the fact of exactly what God forgave us for. And the fact that we might have done or are doing to somebody else what was done to us, and yet God forgave us. He set us free from that. He took all of that anxiety, all of that strife, all of those evil doings, along with our sin, our wrongdoing, on himself. And he nailed it to the tree once and for all. Amen? Now we're supposed to walk in newness of life, not in the past. And you say to me, Pastor Bill, it just seems like the enemy always comes and puts a thought in me, or somebody always comes to remind me of my past. Well, you know that comes from the devil because he's what? He's an accuser. But you know what you need to start doing? This is too simple. Start reminding him of his future. Don't let that pass over your head now. Think about what I'm saying. When he comes to remind you of your past, no matter how it comes, you remind him of his future. The end of the book says we win. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let me get into the actual message. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. If you just want to take notes, that's fine too. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. And I may read a couple of verses there. 1 Peter chapter 4, I may read through 19. In fact, I think I will. Listen carefully now. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel or good news of God? Verse 18 says, now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? They have no hope. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Now, what we see in churches today, and it's very prevalent. It's very prevalent in the Christian media. You know, you get these people who bless their hearts. They mean well, and they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong in some of the things they tell us. It does not line up with Scripture. And the only thing I have to be able to judge whether I'm going to receive what they say or not is not what they say by my understanding, but by what the Word of God says. Are you with me? The only way to righteously judge their words, not them, their words, is by what they say, and it doesn't line up with Scripture. And one of the things we've been taught, there are so many people in the church today running around looking for God's baseball bat to part their hair that they're afraid of everything. They don't walk in victory. They don't walk in newness of life. They walk in fear of making a mistake, and God's going to get them for it. Now, we've talked about this in the past a little bit, but I want to show you some things tonight that are very, very important. Things we need to judge this kind of thinking by. Again, we're judging the word, not the person. Listen, stop and think about it. Why would God be looking for an excuse to judge us now? When he tells us in Scripture he didn't come to condemn, he didn't come to judge. And we understand if we're listening to the Spirit and not other voices, hello, that judgment is going to come in the last day. We're going to be judged differently than those who refused to believe in the name of Jesus. Is that not true? Amen. And so that's what we need to do. We need to look at Scripture and get this settled for us once in our hearts. That's one of the reasons why the law is so dangerous to a believer. Again, the law has not been done away with, but it's been fulfilled. What has been fulfilled? The penalty that we deserved was taken on Jesus and paid for in full once and for all. Can you say amen? Do you believe that? And so it's so dangerous for us to believe that we're going to make a mistake or take one little step off the path and God's going to knock us down for it. This is a stronghold in believers' lives. You know, one of the songs we did on Sunday was out of Isaiah 54, 17. I'm going to start, before I go to Isaiah, I'm going to start with John chapter 12. You want to turn there, John chapter 12, or if you're taking notes, John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. If Jesus came to save us, then why would he turn right around and make his work of no effect, or make it appear like his work is no effect, because we're not going to live up to it anyway, so we're just waiting to get hammered. Does anybody find anything unsettling about that? Here's what it says. And if anyone hears my word and does not believe, I do not judge him. Why doesn't he judge him? We're going to find out here that it's the word that does the judging. And the word will be revealed in the last day that will judge the deeds of every man. Us, for what we did or didn't do for the Lord, but it has nothing to do with our salvation. And the unbeliever, for those who rejected Jesus, lived an evil life and desired to live an evil life. Are you with me? Okay? So here's what he says. He said, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, why would he want to stand there with a baseball bat if he came to save the world and then knock us down if we step out of line? And yet later in other scripture, he says, I am not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. What does that mean? The things that affect your life, the things that motivate you, the things that affect your thinking. He went through all of them. Is that right? You believe that? That's what the word says. And then verse 80, tongues there. I'll give an interpretation now. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. What? The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. He's come and he's told us that I've come to bring you life and that more abundantly. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've given you power, the same power that I received from on high by the Holy Spirit. These things will you do and greater things in my name. You'll cast out demons. You'll raise the dead. You'll heal the sick. Amen? Now, I don't know about y'all, but something's wrong with the message that we're getting taught. God's going to get you if you don't watch out. No! That's a lie from hell. He's not going to get you. God is a God of mercy and grace. We live in his grace. That means as long as we have breath in our body, even though we make a mistake, if we don't succumb to that and start walking in that, then God's grace is going to carry us through and give us the opportunity to repent. Amen? Because the judgment's not till the final day. Am I stretching or are y'all with me on that? Do you believe that? So we need to understand that. Now going back to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. There are people out there who are looking at your life and scrutinizing it based on their premonition of their goodness and thinking that you're all wrong and that you're the one who's in trouble. We're talking about Christians now, not just unbelievers, but Christians. And they're passing judgment on you, and we know what the Bible says about that. As you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you judge another, you yourself will be judged by that same measuring stick. Amen? Is it okay if I paraphrase a little bit? Am I deviating from the truth in any way? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness, their righteousness, is from me, says the Lord. Now, when it says that judgment you will condemn, in other words, you don't condemn the person, but you condemn the words because they're false. They're not backed up by the Word of God. They're backed up by flesh and the lack of wisdom. And God tells us with everything we get, we need to get wisdom, and with that getting, get understanding. The key is getting understanding with the wisdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Luke 6:37. See, let me just tell you something. You know why I'm telling you this and why I'm on this right now? Because that's what the enemy tried to destroy me with. You hear me? That's what he tried to, and just in the past month or two, he tried to destroy me with this. I've gone too far. I've made too many mistakes. I've messed it up. There's no hope. And yet we sing the song, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." Amen? Outside of God, there is no hope. Are we agreed? Amen. Amen. So we need to be aware, and we need to be very clear in our thinking, in our hearts, that God's not out to get us. And judgment is not going to happen now. It's going to happen in the future, especially for those who believe. Now, let me back up a little bit and let me tell you. There are circumstances which people allow in their lives. One, by the, and the biggest, is the, by the rejecting of Jesus and the work that God completed through Jesus on the cross that brings consequences from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. Are you with me? One of those things may be that God doesn't destroy you physically, but you end up in some place you don't want to be, a hospital or a jail cell, where he's got your undivided attention, and then he can speak to your heart and begin to show you the way you're living's not getting you anywhere. In fact, it's getting you more than what you have bargained for. Amen? Luke 6:37, here's what it says. It says, "Judge not, neither..." maybe I ought to read that. Okay, there must be a reason. "Judge not, neither pronouncing judgment nor subjecting to censure. And you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty, and you will not be condemned and pronounced guilty. Acquit and forgive and release. Give up the resentment. Let it drop. And you will be acquitted and forgiven and released." That's from the Amplified. It's pretty simple from the New King James. It says, "Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." You know, one of the hardest things to do is pray for somebody. You know, the Bible tells us, it's a command from God. It says, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And yet our flesh is, nope. Come on now, you know I'm telling you the truth. Our flesh doesn't want to do that. And yet the truth is, when we succumb to the Spirit of God and we pray, the love of God comes inside of us. We begin to see and feel the love of God for that person, no matter how big a stinker they are or were. And you can't stay in a mode of wrong thinking when you pray for somebody like that. How many know what I'm talking about? Nobody's ever experienced that? Pray for them? Come on, God, you got to be kidding me. And yet the minute you start to ask God to bless them, you can't stay mad at them. You can't hold a grudge. The Spirit of God comes up inside of you, and you feel and sense the love of God for that person. They may not be walking in the love of God as far as their appearances, meaning that they don't demonstrate that they know they're loved, you know, and they're pretty unlovely. But the point is, you begin to see through God's eyes and understand He loves them. Are you with me? There's not a person in this room who doesn't know this next scripture. John 3, 17, 18, 19, and 20 and 21. "God did not send His Son into the world." And let me go back to the New King James. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who has not believed is condemned already." Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So here we've read two scriptures, Matthew, and now in Matthew or whatever it was, I think it was Matthew, Luke, okay, that God didn't come to judge the world, or, you know, to judge, that Jesus didn't come to judge the world. And also now we're reading that he didn't come to condemn the world. The condemnation, the scripture says right here, is not believing in Jesus. And that's going to be what convicts them in the last day when they stand at the white throne judgment. We're not going to be a part of that judgment. Say amen. It's the truth. We're not going to be a part of that judgment. Now, let me just throw a couple of footnotes in here. You have a right, through the gift of discernment, to discern good and evil, and to say, that's not lining up with the Word of God. I will be a part of this because it sounds like God to me, or I will not be part of this because it doesn't. That's not God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You judge the fruit or the actions, not the individual. Okay? I'm going to let that go right there. That's all I'm going to say about that. See, that's where this lie comes from, that we're going to, that Jesus is waiting to get us. You know, God's just up there waiting to part our hair with a baseball bat. Is the fact that we think for every little word and deed that we do is going to be judged. In other words, we're going to suffer the consequences for it. We're going to be sentenced. We're going to be convicted. Well, you're going to be convicted if the Holy Spirit's in you. He's going to tell you, wait a minute, this is the way, walk in it. Leave that alone. Amen? Amen. Y'all still with me, or you think I've gone completely off the deep end? John 18:11. Okay, I'm sorry. That apparently is not one of the scriptures that I wanted, but that's what I have down. What's that? That's what I was going to say. I probably put a one there. I do that sometimes, you know. 11 and, yeah. Donna knows me. See, that's why we need one another. Amen? Oh, say amen for Pete's sake. We're in this too deep to be stuffed shirts anymore. This is the story talking about the adulteress who was caught in the middle of adultery. And where all of the people who came to condemn her, just like the scripture says, you know, were there, and Jesus wrote in the sand, and he just kind of put the suggestion out there, you know, okay, you're good, you proved your case. Now, whichever one of you has no sin, let him throw the first stone. And we know what the outcome was. They all turned around and went away because they were convicted. They weren't condemned, they were convicted. Do you see the difference between the two? Condemnation would be something where we turn around and say, man, I really messed up. I really goofed up. Am I ever going to learn? I'm just such a dummy. That's condemnation. But conviction says, you know what? I'm not righteous enough to do this. I got to deal with me first. Are you with me? So what she says in chapter 8, verse 11, it says, so answered no one. Oh, she answered, no one, Lord. Jesus asked her, where are your accusers? Has no one accused you? She says, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go your way from now on and sin no more. What did Jesus come to do? To set the captives free. To the work on the cross, to forgive them and set them free from their sin. Amen. This is pre-cross, remember? Praise the Lord. If you want to, you can turn to Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. that just rain or is there some hail out there too? Romans chapter 2. Listen to what Romans chapter 2 tells us. It says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For whenever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to the truth, and those who practice such things. Okay? That's not talking about instantaneous judgment. That's talking about future judgment. It says you are inexcusable. The way you judge another is the same way you'll be judged. That means if you haven't worked it out in your life and you're pointing a finger at somebody else, then you're going to be held accountable for that until you repent and until you do what God says. Forgiveness means release. Amen? Is that what it means? To release it to God? Man, y'all went to sleep on me. Nobody's answering. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the richness of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, which means there's hope for them, amen? Don't judge. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. The Word of God will lead you to repentance. The Spirit of God, the love of God will lead you to repentance. Verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will tender to each other one? Let me try again. Who will render to each one according to his deeds? In other words, God's going to render to us according to our deeds. That's what our judgment's about. It's not a judgment of damnation. It's a judgment of your deeds. What were your actions here? Did you reflect the love of God? Or did you get salvation and just sat there with that? Did you put into practice what you know, what you hear? Was it a part of your everyday life? Verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for the glory of God, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. That is not us. We're not included in that. Are you ones who are doing evil, or are you that new creation that never before existed? Is your past done away with? Is it covered under the blood? Are you a new relation to God? Are you now a child of God, or are you still a child of Satan? Tribulation and anguish in verse 9 on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. That means that God's no respecter of persons. Those Jewish people who continue to reject and don't heed the touch of God and the call of God are going to perish. I don't care if they're Jewish or not. They'll suffer the same fate as an unbeliever that's a Greek or a Gentile, if you will. That's the way it is. God says there is a remnant, those who he has kept. He knows who they are, and those he will restore. And the rest will perish just like us, or he's an unjust and unrighteous God. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to just tell you that we're all in this together. And there's not one of us who this doesn't pertain to. I'm talking about the salvation of God. That's not a new creation in Christ. It doesn't make any difference what you think. If you're thinking the wrong thing, you need to change your thinker. I said, if you're thinking the wrong thing, you need to change your thinker. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, three verses. And again, I say we're in this together. Verses 1 through 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the flesh and spirit. Remember, we're supposed to have our spirits and minds renewed by the Word of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. In other words, we're all in it together. We're all in it together. It's the same for all of us. Why is that? Because God's no respecter of persons. I would challenge you to look up the words condemn, condemnation, judge, and judgment in the dictionary and see what it says. You might be surprised at some of the things you read if you don't already have an idea of what those definitions are. Okay. John 3, 19 through 22. 1 John 3, 19 through 22. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, He is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us, it does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. See, when you start to hear voices saying, man, you've messed up, all hope for you is gone, that's your heart condemning you. And that's not based on truth, that's based on guilt. And guilt doesn't come from God, just like condemnation doesn't come from God. That means you're judging yourself wrongly. It's one thing to say, Lord, I have messed up, I am sorry. Again, like David, I pray, create in me clean hands and a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Search me, O God, and know my ways. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any wicked way in me. And then say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. I turn from that. So if Jesus didn't come to condemn us, then why are we condemning ourselves along with everybody else? Y'all still here? Did I lose you? Honestly, now, come on. Be real with me. Did I lose you? Okay. I see a head shaking and I heard a no, so y'all had your opportunity to speak. I got just a couple more scriptures and we'll wrap this up. See, we've had so many people point a finger at us that we begin to point fingers at ourselves. You know, one of the things that I believe I just heard from the Holy Spirit was that tongue that rises to condemn us can be our own tongue. In judgment against, that tongue that rises in judgment against us. See, you messed up. There's no hope for you. It can be the voice of Satan or it can be our own heart, which the Bible says in Jeremiah is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the reason we know it is because of the Word of God. Amen? So we have the right to judge and to condemn those words that even come out of our mouth. Condemn them how? That doesn't line up with the Word of God. I'm not listening to that. I'm not receiving that. I'm not walking in that. I made a mistake, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I repent and go on. Amen? John chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. John chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. I'm going to read verse 28 first, just to put it back in context. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good, this is even for those who are in the grave, who have done good and evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. Verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I'm not mistaken, that's Jesus speaking. See, his righteousness is just. And he's talking about the last day when judgment will be revealed. Just two scriptures in Romans chapter 5. Verses 16 and 18. 16 and then 18. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. That gift that we got from the one who sinned brought sin on all of us. Amen? For the judgment which came, it brought judgment on all of us. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. How'd that happen? Through Jesus. Amen? Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. You have been justified. Your righteousness is not your own. It's the righteousness of God, righteousness of Jesus. You are righteous in God's eyes. You are not unrighteous any longer. Those who don't know him cannot claim that. They don't know the righteousness of God. They don't know the goodness of God because they run from it and they hide from it because they like what they're doing. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Say, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to what? The flesh, but according to the Spirit. How many of you wake up in the morning, get up and say, man, I'm going to live in the flesh today? Now, that sounds really stupid, doesn't it? But yet, that's what the enemy would have us think. If we messed up one time, you're in the flesh, now you're in trouble. No, no. We have the ability to repent. We have the forgiveness, the grace, and the mercy of God. And he said, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all. How long? All the days of our life. Amen? Hallelujah. Bear with me just for a minute. We're just about to wrap this up and get out of here. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye while you do not consider the plank in your own eye? This is a good example of what we started this message tonight with. We get so in bondage at what others have done to us that we get stuck in a place that we are literally allowing chains of iron to be put around us. My Bible says, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen? And what's happening is God saying to us here, why are you trying to look at the speck or hold the speck in somebody else's eye against them, the speck, when you've got a tree in your own eye? In other words, you're still guilty. You're guilty. Now, that doesn't mean you're condemned. It just means you need to say, Lord, I am guilty. I'm sorry. I didn't realize what I was doing, and now I realize it, and I'm not going to go there anymore. Amen? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, there's a plank in your eye. You know what? As long as you got something in your eye, you can't see to help somebody else. And you become an unrighteous judge at that moment. You judge, and that's what the scripture's talking about when it says, the very things you judge others, you're guilty of yourself. We just read it. This is not a message of condemnation. This should be a message of victory for people. This is not a message of put down or tear down. It should be a message of hope and understanding the love of God. He's not out to get you. And you know what? Because it's a lifetime process, we have the ability to make it right. So you've been a Christian for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years, and you're still struggling. God's not done with you yet. How many think God's done with them? Amen. He's not. It takes a lifetime and beyond. And so there's hope. There's hope. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Catch your thoughts. Look at them through the Word of God. Work on taking the plank or the big tree out of your eye. And the day that that gets done, you'll be standing before Jesus. We'll never come to the place where we have the ability to take the speck out of somebody else's eye. The Word tells us that now we're looking through a glass or a mirror darkly. We're seeing our reflection. But how easy is it to walk away and then forget who we really are and what situations and issues we have in our life? So where do we get off pointing a finger at somebody else? We need to reach out in love. We need to reach out in hope to touch other people's lives and to share the goodness of God with them. Again, just because you may be a Christian 10 minutes and God's done something in your life that you can share with somebody who's been around as long as Harry and Marie and I. They'll touch their lives. It's not the person or how long they've been a Christian. It's the Spirit of God within them and the openness of their heart. Amen. Amen. Verse 5. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your eye, your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Did we already read John 12, verses 47 and 48? We did? Okay. If that's the case, then I'm done. God loves us. And He wants to dispel all of this nonsense that religion has put on us. There are truths in the Word that say the wages of sin is death. What sin is that that leads to death? It's not believing in Jesus. It's rejecting Him. It's that simple. There's nothing more to it. Nothing you can add. Nothing you can take away. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when our heart begins to condemn us and we realize we've really messed up. First of all, to go to God and say, God, I'm really sorry. I did mess up. Confess your faults to Him. If God requires you to confess your faults to another, then do it. God will take care of the rest. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can handle the things that pertain to our life? Amen. And watch God turn you around. Turn your thinking around so that when you get into situations or things pop up that try to creep in from your past, that bring those feelings of animosity, those feelings of anger, you can turn around and release them to God, knowing that you're forgiven, knowing that He's not condemning you, and that you weren't put here to condemn anybody either, including yourself. And once you realize you're making a mistake, all it takes is saying, God, I'm sorry. And what does He say? When you repent, what does He say? He says He removes your misconduct. It's the word sin, but in this, I believe it means misconduct, as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. How about that song? I forget who sings that song. It says, what sin? What sin are you talking about? It was gone the very minute that you prayed or repented. Gone the very minute. See, because the Word of God is what's working on your conscience. It's not your actions. It's the Word of God, which means it's the Spirit of God and the Word together working on you, working on your conscience, making you, causing you to become everything that God wants you to be, bringing you into more every day the image and the likeness of Jesus. Amen? Now, that's good news to me. Without Him, oh my goodness, I don't even want to think about it. But I would ask us all, where would we be if it wasn't for him? What would we have to have suffered had we not given our lives to Jesus and entered in to the goodness of God and the grace and mercy of God, which brought us under that blood that cleansed us from all sin and all unrighteousness? Amen. Let's give him praise tonight. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for revealing truth. Thank you for bringing us freedom, Lord, for being our freedom, for releasing us from those things that would keep us from you, Lord. We want a tender heart, Lord. We want to be sensitive to you and to your word. And we want to reject the voice of the stranger, the condemner, the deceiver, the liar, the accuser. We reject that in Jesus' name. But we receive the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God through the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that your word and your spirit agree, which brings life, repentance, forgiveness, and liberty to our lives and our souls. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this time. We give you all praise and honor and glory. Now go with your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless them. Keep them. And I thank you, Lord, that they're going to have the best week they've had ever in their life until next week. And it's going to get better. In your precious name, Holy Spirit, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.